Again, only until 3:30, you have the opportunity to watch a video of this show, a live studio camera. I'm kind of just testing things out because Saul Spady, who's been owning this idea and doing a tremendous job, has kind of got me wondering if we can make it work here. So text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a text message with the link so you can watch us on your phone, on your desktop, wherever. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by Northwest Safe. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in King County?
So Federal Way is dealing with an alarming string of shootings. A third shooting in just 4 days happened early yesterday morning. One person was killed in all of this. Yesterday, a 36-year-old man was shot and killed at a gas station.
If they haven't identified or if they don't identify the individuals responsible, then it could be anyone, and that's not good if you don't know who it is. These shootings can happen anywhere. Just because they happened in Federal Way doesn't mean that tomorrow there's going to be another shooting.
Unfortunately, if we look at what's been going on, tomorrow there might be another shooting. That's an unfortunate reality because that's what a lot of people feel. They saw yesterday the shooting. They saw last week a 14-year-old girl shot in the leg. They saw a 17-year-old boy shot in the head at Wild Waves. People are talking about all of this. Now, the good news in those cases, those two kids who were shot survived. But obviously, if you live in Federal Way, you're getting freaked out like Karen talking to Como.
That, to me, is just so shocking. It's so close, you know, to where I live. I want them to catch them soon because I don't want that to spread to other areas and to other shootings in Federal Way. What's to prevent it from happening again? It, you know, maybe in another venue where there's lots of families.
And that's a very good point. That's a good question. What are we doing to make sure that this doesn't happen again? Mayor Jim Farrell spoke with Cairo 7, and he said this.
Numbers are cold comfort to individuals that have been, you know, victimized and had a family member victimized. And what the community should know is that this, we take, you know, we're going to roll up our sleeves and put all hands on deck, and we're going to capture these folks.
So that answer is not satisfactory to me. Those are just words that don't really mean anything. That's just what it is. Just what we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to. Okay, that's not a plan. And so Jim Farrell, the mayor of Federal Way, he's going to stop by at 4 o'clock and we're going to talk this through because from my perspective, I'm seeing what's going on. And it seems very clear that this is a gang violence issue. Now, maybe not in all three of the shootings. But it seems when you've got young people, especially like, for example, the 14-year-old girl, she went to what's being described as a predetermined event, right? A fight that she was there to witness. One of the dudes who was involved in the fight realized he was going to lose. He pulls out a gun and he shoots up. Like, that's what happens when you're involved in gangs. Now, whether or not all of this or any of this has to do with gangs, I don't know. But there's certainly a context that has gang violence at the top of my head because we know over the past several years, Federal Way, like Burien, like Tukwila, like Seattle, like Tacoma, has been dealing with a gang violence issue. This is what happens when you have a breakdown of the rule of law and a breakdown of families. That's why this is happening. That's what happens when people join a gang. They feel like they can do it because there's not going to be consequences and they don't have good enough people in their life. Whether that means an adult figure that takes care of them, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, or a teacher. It's what happens when you have broken families where people don't truly care about these kids. That is an underlying issue, and that's my guess as to what's going on here. And unless you have a plan specifically to target why kids are joining gangs, this is going to continue to happen. Now, you've seen in Tacoma an unwillingness to identify gang violence as gang violence. And I get the sense that in Federal Way, we're dealing with the exact same thing. Now, maybe for different reasons. Because the mayor of Federal Way, in that clip there, he says, you know, the numbers are what they are. He's right. Let's not create a narrative that there is a murdering problem in Federal Way, because there isn't. There was one murder in 2019. One too many. But one, but there have been a lot of shootings and there has been a history of gang violence there. So what exactly is the plan to go after it? Because if you live in Seattle, Bellevue, Everett, Burien, you're starting to see more and more and more of these gang violence issues and you need an actual plan. Otherwise, you're not going to actually go after it. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770 if you want to watch me perform the show for this first 30 minutes of the Jason Rancho. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? in Everett.
So obviously, homeless encampments can be incredibly dangerous places to live. We talk about the human waste. We talk about the other garbage. We talk about the needles. Not a safe place to live, not a safe place to walk through. But beyond that, it can also literally be dangerous in the sense of immediate danger from someone who's just walking by, or someone, frankly, who's living in some of these encampments. And we turn to what's going on in Everett, and now we have a renewed focus on the realities of living in these encampments. Because detectives over in Everett, they just arrested a 19-year-old kid for stabbing to death one of his homeless acquaintances that apparently either lived or hung out at this homeless encampment that the detectives there are focused on. They did their investigation. The investigation, the evidence led them to this 19-year-old kid. The police report said, according to the Everett Herald, when advised of his arrest for murder, the suspect stated, "Wow," and nothing more. Now, they write in this that essentially there was some kind of fight or disagreement over a wallet that was stolen that had about $150 inside. The report, the police report states that this 19-year-old kid ended up going to this 26-year-old. His name is TJ Byrne. They got into some sort of fight near this encampment over by Highway 99, and one thing led to another, where TJ Byrne was apparently stabbed by this 19-year-old homeless guy. Now, the public defender put out a position of, well, it's possible that the 19-year-old might have just been acting in self-defense. Okay, maybe. Let's see where this investigation goes. But unless you start to take these encampments seriously, this is going to continue to happen. And I say this out of a city that I think overall, because Snohomish County overall is doing a pretty good job of this, they're doing things as best as they can in most circumstances. But this is what happens when you don't actually tackle these encampments. And it's not just someone who maybe lives in these encampments that is under the threat of violence. We're talking about, this could be your kid. This could be your spouse. This could be you. Because you don't know who's living in these encampments. And a lot of times, these encampments are filled with people who are dealing with mental health issues that are not being addressed. We're talking about people who are dealing with addiction that's not being addressed. And they end up acting out in a way that puts people's lives on the line, not just their own. What is being done to tackle these issues statewide? Because when I look at something like this, you go ahead and steal $150, allegedly. I'm assuming that money was going to be spent to purchase drugs or alcohol or maybe just food. Whatever the reason is, the person decided to do it because they're desperate. We live in a region that has so much money that can actually address these issues. We've got a ton of money that we can be putting into programs that can, in fact, be run efficiently and can actually get people off of the streets. But we need to have the political will to do something. Snohomish County, I think, as a whole, has a really good plan, at least depending on where you look at the situation. When you go into Marysville, when you go into Arlington, in a lot of ways, when you start to go into Monroe and Sultan, you're seeing a very specific approach, the carrot and stick approach, where you're telling cops you have the authority to actually arrest these folks if they break the law, or you can offer them a resource, and it's up to them. They'll take us up on our offer of resources. If you need health care on demand, we will provide it. If you need a shelter tonight, we will provide it, or we're going to throw you in jail. And it's totally up to you. The homeless person, it's up to you. Take us up. Please take us up on our offer, or we're going to have to throw you in jail. That approach has worked in Marysville. It has worked in Arlington. It's working in Snohomish County. But they need to be doing a lot more of it. And it needs to extend outside of Snohomish County. There's a story today, I believe it was in the Everett Herald, or maybe it was yesterday, where they're talking specifically about the city of Monroe trying to get these things under control, this problem under control. And they're doing it with relatively limited resources when you compare a city like Monroe or Gold Bar or Sultan or Index with Everett. Everett's got more money than these other communities. And so you're going to have to get a little bit creative, I suppose, in your approach to this. But let's be clear. There is a problem. It is spreading. And it's a result of the lax attitude that we have in Seattle as it relates to encampments. That's why we tell you so often, bad policies of Seattle spread. They absolutely spread. And this is a consequence of that. And so what are you going to do as a resident, maybe in Everett or surrounding community, or a community that has not yet been touched as deeply by the homelessness situation, the opioid crisis as Everett? What are you going to do to get involved? Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link. You can watch us live performing this show. But before then, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So I was in Vegas over the weekend. I was taking a mini vacation. Thank you so many people who pointed out, oh, you go on so many vacations. No, I don't. I just have a life on Twitter that makes it seem like I do. And I was there, and I kind of lost some money. Didn't do horribly, didn't do great. I come back on Sunday, and I knew the one thing that could cheer me up after losing the money that I lost is good old soccer. And I'm so happy to report to you that yesterday, in a position where they absolutely... What do you... I was just about to say the Sounders won in a match that they needed to win.
That's cool.
I mean, you say that in a very dismissive way.
I know they won.
Yeah, but not everybody knows that they won.
That's all right. You know who won was the Seahawks on Thursday.
Yeah, but
that's news.
The one thing that gives me pleasure in all of life
is coming to work and seeing me.
Not when you pull stunts like this. Is this the Peyton show or the Jason Rant show? If I want to talk about soccer, I'm going to talk about... Oh. Folks, this is what I deal with. I cannot seem to find a producer that allows me to talk about soccer. Oh, the audience doesn't want to talk about soccer.
Bring back Matera.
So I'm just dipping my toes into the live video stream waters. If we get 50 views, 50 people inside this chat room, I will continue this experiment tomorrow. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to perform on video. Get all dressed up, although my hair is naturally this amazing, as people have pointed out on the video stream. I'm not going to do it if you guys aren't going to watch. So text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to our live video stream. I want to get up to 50 people in this chat room watching me perform. You can also have conversations with me there, but you only have until you got 10 more minutes, and then I'm cutting loose. So, folks, if you want me to continue this experiment, you can watch me actually perform this show. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
So Martin Scorsese, the director of those movies that all seem exactly the same because it's about the mafia and New York, and I'm kind of sick and tired of it, and I think he's actually very overrated. He's come out with some rather dismissive comments about the Marvel superhero movies, Avengers, Captain America, Captain Marvel, all those films. And it kind of got smacked down by Samuel L. Jackson in a respectful but also kind of passive-aggressive way, and other people who are connected to the Marvel movies are coming out. So Scorsese was giving this interview with a magazine called Empire, which I've never actually heard of. I'm assuming it has nothing to do with the failed TV show and everything to do with films. And he's got this movie coming out, Irishman, which looks like literally every other mafia Scorsese movie that he's put out. And he was asked specifically about Marvel movies, because Marvel movies are doing so incredibly well. They're making billions and billions and billions of dollars. And he said, I don't see them. I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. Now, obviously, if you are a creative person who's connected to the Marvel superhero movies, you get a little bit upset. James Gunn is the writer and director of the Guardians of the Galaxy series. He tweeted, Martin Scorsese is one of my favorite top five living filmmakers. I was outraged when people picketed The Last Temptation of Christ without having seen the movie. I'm saddened that he's now judging my films in the exact same way. Samuel L. Jackson was doing some red carpet interviews, and he was asked about the comments.
Martin Scorsese's thoughts on Marvel films, on superhero films not being cinema.
I tried it, but I didn't pay much attention to it.
You were kind of like, it doesn't...
I mean, that's like saying, you know, Bugs Bunny ain't funny.
Well,
you know,
he's not that.
Films are films. You know, everybody doesn't like his stuff either, you know? I mean, we happen to, but yeah. Everybody doesn't. You know, there are a lot of Italian Americans that don't think he should be making films about them like that. So, I mean, everybody's got an opinion. So, I mean, it's okay. I ain't gonna stop nobody from making a movie.
Exactly. And making them here and making millions and billions and billions of dollars like you.
We just hope this becomes as big and as legendary as Warner Brothers, Fox, and all those other places.
So, it's an incredibly ignorant statement by Martin Scorsese. It's just incredibly ignorant. And it's fueled by what I think is, I will just call, like, artistic snootiness, that you've got people like Martin Scorsese that view their own work as incredibly amazing and important, and everyone has to see it because he knows the impact that art can have on the community. And yet he's willing to say that just because a superhero is attached to a storyline, the kinds of movies that you and I actually like, that's snootiness. Can you honestly tell me, even if you don't generally like superhero movies, and I've certainly felt at some point that we're starting to get into that realm of, okay, do we really need another superhero movie? You just did one. It's the reason why I didn't watch, what, not Doctor Who, what's that one called? Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. You didn't like it?
No, here's the deal. When it came out, I said to myself, okay, I don't want to see this. This is, looks like The Matrix redone. I'm tired of it. I end up seeing it, and it was a great movie. Almost every single Marvel movie I've seen, I've liked. And the vast majority of people out there will go see a Marvel superhero movie. That's why it's making billions of dollars, and they like it. People were openly weeping at the end of Avengers Endgame. I went to a screening. The woman in my row was just wildly weeping because of the death of a pretty significant character and the end of another character. No spoilers.
It's been like a year.
I know, but some people haven't seen it yet. People were crying. People love the characters. They root for the characters. They're shocked at the... I was shocked at the ending of the first Avengers movie. It connected with me emotionally like it connected with so many others emotionally. I don't always get that emotional connection to the Martin Scorsese movies. He's the one who's putting it out there as, gotta have this emotional connection. Oh, if you don't, are you really doing art? Okay, by your own set of rules, you're an overrated director, because you do the same stupid movie over and over and over again. You just take a slightly different name, but all the characters in virtually every movie that he does is exactly the same. Just saying. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So Brian Stelter over at CNN, his show Reliable Sources, which is usually filled with people who are unreliable sources as guests, he comes on with his cast of characters every single week, and he just loves taking these deep dives into how evil Fox News is and how evil Trump is and how evil Republicans are. And he's especially annoyed because evil Fox News ends up supporting or defending in some circumstances evil Donald Trump and evil conservatives. Unlike CNN, which has become all in on pushing for impeachment, weakening this president, calling out Republicans, creating this phony outrage. And it's a baffling strategy to me because it's clearly not working for CNN. CNN being anti-Trump has led to dramatically lowered ratings because CNN used to be about unbiased news coverage. That's what they used to be about. And instead of embracing non-biased news coverage in the quote-unquote age of Trump, which would, I think, have filled a void, which would have worked for them, they decided to become a bad version of MSNBC. MSNBC is where people go to see attacks on Trump and attacks on Republicans. That is their brand. It has served them very well. Trump supporters and conservatives in general, they go to Fox News. That is Fox News's brand. It has served them very well. CNN, which was best served by being a news source, decided to push that aside, go all in their hatred of President Trump, their hatred of the Republicans. And as a result, their ratings are awful, which is why I think it's very ironic that almost every single week on Reliable Sources, they bring on people to just diss Fox News. CNN's Oliver Darcy, he was on Reliable Sources to attack the Fox News CEO, Lachlan Murdoch.
Although a lot of what we saw last week was a lot of these talking points really fall apart when they entered the real world. They still are allowed to thrive on Fox. And, you know, you just played that clip where people were talking about coups and civil wars. It's really disturbing stuff. And I actually kind of wonder, Lachlan Murdoch, you know, the head of Fox, how does he really look at himself in the mirror every morning knowing that poison is his contribution to society? I honestly can't understand how he does it.
It's pretty strong, Oliver. Okay, you can say that, but you put out the same exact content on your Twitter feed and on your show. You just like to sort of put some sort of a new spin around it into, this is why we're talking. Here's the deal. How does anyone at CNN look at themselves in the mirror? They want to pretend that they're not putting out vile. They've got people on their network almost every single day calling President Trump or implying that he's a Nazi, a white supremacist, that we are living in a fascistic world, that we're on the verge of losing our democracy. They put that out every single day, not because it's the truth, but it's because that's their spin. That's how their hatred of Republicans and Trump is manifested, but they're okay with it because it's coming from them. And by the way, no conflict of interest mentioned there. Fox News is a direct competitor of CNN. Fox News demolishes CNN in the ratings every single day. They have a vested interest in lying about what Fox News does. But you know what Fox News does better? Especially better than anybody else, including CNN and MSNBC? Ask ask me what did they do and set me up for what I want to say.
Hey, Jason, what do they do?
I'm so glad that you asked that question. They have me on the air. In fact, I'm going to be on Tucker Carlson tonight, today, at 9:40 p.m. on Fox News, or 5:40 if you're going to skip out on this show, which you shouldn't. You should listen to me and then watch me on Tucker Carlson tonight at 9:40 as we chat about the Seattle absurd story that math is somehow racist. I'm going to be on Fox News later today. To the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Community activist and former Seattle City Council candidate Ari Hoffman is absolutely fed up with the derelict RVs lining the streets outside of a cemetery that he works closely with. In fact, he's on the board. And he let the Seattle City Council and the mayor's office know that, hey, if you don't figure this out by 10 a.m. Monday morning, we're going to tow these RVs and we're going to leave them outside of the homes of the council representatives as well as the mayor. Well, it's obviously past 10 a.m. Let's find out exactly what went on. Ari Hoffman joins me now. Ari, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Always a pleasure to be on.
So before we get to exactly what happened earlier this morning, let's talk about how you got to this point, because this is an issue that's been ongoing for about 2 years.
I'm at the point where I'm just kind of fed up. I had some families contacting me that they were out there for a funeral the other day for an unborn child, and that they had to see all the stuff while they were out there for that. Their most vulnerable phase, most vulnerable stage in their life, they have to be dealing with seeing RVs and seeing needles and seeing feces on the ground outside a cemetery. That's not fair to them. It's not fair to the occupants who are being left on the street by city policies, that these people clearly have a drug problem or a mental illness problem and are being left out there. And I finally got fed up. The groundskeeper was walking through the cemetery the other day, found some needles, but also found a bag in a tree. And he knocked down the bag from the tree because he never knows what's inside these things. And inside of it was a cup filled with human waste. And should he have to be dealing with this stuff every day? It's not fair to him.
And then on top of all of the other human waste and waste coming from these RVs and, of course, these needles you found on a regular basis on the property, including, by the way, a couple, homeless couple, having sex on a gravestone.
Well, that's not the worst. We found people who are completely overdosed on the property. We've had to call 911 before. We thought they were dead. You name it, we've pretty much found it there. We found condoms. It's just gross, and this is how they desecrate our cemeteries. It's not right. It's not right to the family members, and this is also the time of year where a lot of Jews head out to the cemeteries because of the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and they usually go there to visit their relatives.
So, you know, you wrote a letter. You were very frustrated, clearly. Take us through exactly what the letter said and who you sent it to.
Sure. I sent a letter to the mayor and the city council and representatives of the Seattle Police Department telling them that if they didn't do anything about it by 10 o'clock this morning, I was going to take matters into my own hands. I have a friend with a tow truck, and I was going to bring him out there, and he was going to start towing vehicles, and I didn't care what happened to me, but we were going to start putting them in front of the council members who live closest to the cemetery, which would be Deborah Juarez.
Yeah, Deborah Juarez also represents the region that... Deborah Juarez, the council member who's an incumbent, by the way, running against Ann Davis and Sattler, also represents the area which the cemetery actually exists.
Yeah, and actually, Ann Davidson Sattler has been out to the cemeteries before, and she actually came and helped us with our Memorial Day flag project when children from the synagogues put flags in the ground with Jewish war veterans. She had a broken foot at the time, and she was there helping the kids out. It was great. Deborah Juarez was supposed to meet us out there when this was at the height of what was going on, and she never even showed up for the meeting.
But she did respond to your email because it included a threat, and right now she's up for re-election. How was her response?
I was not impressed with her response because it said, oh, I've contacted the navigation team, I've contacted Seattle Police Department, they're going to be handling this. And I thought to myself, I've already contacted them. So I replied as such in the letter. I said, we need more than that. And could this be only because you're up for re-election? This isn't fair. We haven't heard from you in over a year. And the last time we heard from you was when you stood us up at a... You didn't even show up.
Yeah.
Is it because you're campaigning this year? That's probably why we got a response.
So what happened this morning before 10 a.m.?
This morning, the grounds crew called me and told me that there was a blue pickup truck with ropes and had hooked itself up to the RVs and was towing them out of the area. So they clearly got the message and were worried about what was about to happen, so they left. What happens is these ranchers, as you've read about in some of the papers and has been covered on your show and others, what these guys do is they rent out these RVs that they buy at auction and drop them all over Seattle, and usually they're driving vehicles that are not qualified to be towing these things and put them wherever they want. There's also guys who get paid to haul the RVs to different locations when they hear a sweep is coming, and they're kind of like Uber for RVs. It's unfortunate. So one of these guys showed up and pulled the RVs away from the cemeteries this morning before I could get there.
So you don't believe that it was a city truck that removed the RVs?
Oh, we know it wasn't a city truck. When the city comes, they come in force. The navigation team came out on Friday, and they talked to the residents of the RVs, and all the residents refused services, as always. They just refused the services. The navigation team tried to help them out. The officers on site cited the vehicles for violating the two-hour parking. They also gave them a 72-hour window to move the vehicles. They had switched sides of the street the last time they got the 72-hour move notice, so they were technically within compliance of the law, but that's the problem, is that the law just isn't working anymore. These people aren't accepting services because they know there's no consequences to remaining on the streets.
It's completely toothless, and to be fair to the mayor, she did try to advance some legislation that would have gone after some of these RVs in a more meaningful way, but the council decided to rewrite it and basically say, yeah, you don't really actually have to move. If you're just joining me, by the way, we're talking with Ari Hoffman. He's a community activist, very active in both the communities of Georgetown, but also in sort of the North Seattle area. You suggested that you know for certain that it wasn't the city that moved these RVs. And so where exactly do you stand with the city in all of this?
Right now, I called the police department this morning. Once I got to my office and saw that the RVs are still remaining across my office, told them what I was going to do. They said they're sending SPD. I'm waiting on SPD right now. My friend with the tow truck is standing by, and he's ready to move these things. The problem with the RVs near my office, they're not on our property or at close proximity enough to our property the way they are at the cemetery, so I have a harder time towing them. So what I did was I realized that this was asking for legal trouble, so I adjusted it a little bit. What we did, we set up an account with a local tow company, and we put up some signs that say the vehicles will be towed, which is by law what you have to do in order to tow a vehicle, and that's being done out at the cemeteries today, so hopefully it won't have to end up with me being in jail for towing some vehicles. But at the same time, down near my office, there really isn't anything we can do. Now, my friends who are bringing the tow truck are going to come here, and typically what happens is when these guys see a tow truck, they pack up and they leave. And that's what we expect to happen today also. So whenever he gets done with his job, hopefully it's today or maybe tomorrow, he'll come down here and we'll see about getting these guys out of here.
Are you actually willing to go to jail over this?
I'd really rather not. Today's my son's birthday, and I think my wife would kill me. But at the same time, what other options do I have left? I've tried everything. We tried the legal route. We tried filing a damage claim with the city. We tried offering these people jobs. They said, no, Seattle lets me do whatever I want. We tried being compassionate. We tried being helpful. We tried everything. And the city's not interested in helping us. The politicians are not interested in helping us. SPD's hands are tied. They can't do much about this. What is an average citizen left to do with when their businesses are being broken into, when their homes are being broken into, when their loved ones' final resting places are being desecrated? What choice do we have left? And the problem is the politicians don't want to face the inconvenient truth, to use their own verbiage, of what's happening. So when you send them the pictures of what's happening, they say, we don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they get upset that you sent them the pictures of what's going on.
Well, I can tell you one thing that people can do right now who are listening, who are upset. If you live in Seattle, make sure you're voting for the right people. You've got three incumbents in Shama Sawant, Lisa Herbold, and Deborah Juarez, who on this topic and so many others are completely insane. They're completely insane. And so you can start by actually voting them out of office. And for those of you who don't actually live in Seattle, you realize, because we say this on the show many, many times, bad Seattle policies end up spreading to you whether you live in Covington or Everett or Bellevue. And so if you want to prevent that slow Seattle creep, make sure you're donating to campaigns in Seattle that actually pursue policies that you support, and donate some of your time. Now, obviously, Ari, you tried to do that. It was not successful. You were running in a district that is notoriously unfriendly to conservatives. But there are people who are running, whether we're talking about Phil Tavel or Ann Davis and Sattler, or even Egan O'Ryan in Capitol Hill. There are people who I think will take the concerns that you're expressing much more seriously than the incumbents. I'll give you the last word.
100%, and people really need to get out and vote. One thing that's still disappointing about the election is not the fact that I lost, but that so few people showed up to vote in a state where the voting is paid for by mail-in ballot, there is no excuse not to vote. And the fact that only 30-some-odd percent of people showed up to vote shows that the average citizen isn't paying attention or feels like there's nothing they can do. They can do something. They can vote. They can get active in community groups. They can be active in helping the homeless population, donating to Mary's Place, donating to Millionaires Club. There's things that the average citizen can do. There's so much I got accomplished just by being me, not by being a candidate. And people can do these kind of things, and they need to educate themselves. They need to talk to their friends. Everybody has a circle of influence of about 100 people. Go talk to your friends about what's going on. Make sure they know who's responsible and who can change it.
And one really small thing that actually means a lot is spreading the word about what's going on here in this case. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the story. You can check out the full letter that Ari wrote. You can check out some of the photos. Text the keyword RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770. Don't just read the story, but post it everywhere you can, because the more people who see this will hopefully get more people to act. This will activate a lot of us who felt like our voices haven't mattered. Ari Hoffman, best of luck as you deal with this. And as always, thank you so much for coming on my show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, buddy, and bringing attention to this.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Again, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. NBC News and the Wall Street Journal just put out a poll. And it's got some new data that I think has some good topics for the Republicans to exploit. I don't think there's any doubt right now that when you look at every single poll, Trump is unpopular. Now, part of that is because pollsters and the media generally don't understand how to reach or talk to or engage with a Trump supporter. They just don't. But it also turns out that the people who they are really good at talking to, Democrats, they don't like Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, and they kind of but barely like Elizabeth Warren. The numbers out there for popularity, or in this case, I guess, unpopularity, not looking good for the Democrats either. Roughly one-third of registered voters said they had some comfort or enthusiasm about Biden, Warren, or Sanders. That's not good. Only one-third? The good news, about half of voters, 46%, say the economy has improved and Trump deserves at least some of the credit for that. That's going to go a long way. Even when you dislike a politician who's in power, we generally have a comfort level, economically speaking, financially speaking, that we like to maintain. When things are going well for us financially, even if we don't like the president, we're willing to give that person a little bit of leeway, maybe a lot of leeway, depending on how much better your finances look, because you don't want to change how much money you're taking home. You don't want to change what it is you can now afford as a result of, in this case, not just good economic policy coming from the White House, but from the Republican Party that passed a bill, a tax cut, that virtually every single person listening to me right now benefited from in some way or another. Remember the other party, the Democrats? They're the ones who spoke out against it. Do you want that person in power? They say in this poll, the 62% majority opposed to providing government health care to undocumented immigrants. And that exceeds the 56% opposed to Trump's call for a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. Understand that there are more people who are upset with the signature policies coming from the Democratic Party, coming from almost virtually every single person who's running for president on the Democratic side, than the signature issues coming from the White House. 56% opposed to eliminating private insurance as part of a new Medicare for All program. That's more than the 52% opposed to Republican calls for a repeal of Obamacare. This is good news for the Republican Party. This is good news for Donald Trump. When you look at the policies that the Democrats have proposed, they are deeply unpopular, and there's no signs that any of these people, whether we're talking about the front runners of a Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren, sort of those now middle-tiered candidates, I would argue that Bernie Sanders is that he's got no shot. Once you have a heart attack, you're not going to become the president. You've got Kamala Harris, all of these people promoting openly policies that people despise. The vast majority of people, Democrats included, do not want to give health insurance coverage to illegal immigrants. They don't want open borders. They don't want to confiscate going door-to-door guns. They don't want that. I know that Kamala Harris wants you to believe that, or Beto O'Rourke wants you to believe that, but that's not a reality. And by the way, they haven't even polled an issue that the Democrats made a huge deal about, and I hope they continue. I hope Trump brings this up once he's on stage with whoever the candidate's going to be. They didn't poll reparations, which for a long time, Democrats were all about. They weren't about it when Obama was president. They weren't about it when they had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate. But now that they don't, they're all about it. This is good news for the Republicans. Now, the question is, will Republicans actually jump on this? Because there's this tendency to talk about exclusively, almost, the news of the day. What's the news of the day right now? Impeachment. Democrats know that they can dangle impeachment for a very long time, have that put a different spin on anything else that Republicans would talk to, because they're going to be asked every single time about impeachment. That's hanging this entire time in the background over the Trump administration, over the Republicans. Democrats know that. Democrats know that they have media outlets that are super willing to exclusively talk about that, so they're putting it out there, and that distracts folks from some deeply unpopular positions that they're all taking. So let's see if the Republicans and the Trump administration and the Trump campaign can take advantage of this really, really, really good news from this poll. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Two more hours coming up right here on the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH.